Hollywood loves Marilyn Monroe with an undying passion.
Started this heat wave by letting my seed wave.
At this weekend's Oscars, Michelle Williams is up for Best Actress for her starring role in My Week with Marilyn. A half century after she died, Marilyn is still the standard for bombshells. Sexy, funny, tragic, and above all, blonde. WNYC's Sarah Montague explains that the symbiosis between blondes and the movies is just about as old as the movies.
You can find blonde hair all over the Western world, but the blonde as we know her, that aura on legs, was created by Hollywood, starting with Mary Pickford.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Oh, I just came out in the garden for a little stroll and to look at the moon.
Mary Pickford started off as a very soft, subtle, more sweet, innocent blonde, the heroine being saved, you know, from the big bad guys. And then when you go into Jean Harlow, that's when we start seeing a different form of blonde or a different personality attached to that hair color.
Laurie Goddard Clark is a Hollywood colorist. She makes blondes for a living. She says that Jean Harlow's incandescent hair, caught in the light of early black and white films, defined a new type.
Her image was a fast woman. That was the classic, a fast woman colors her hair, or is platinum.
Next Friday evening, at the Oliver Jordan's, dinner at 8, me eating with Lord and Lady Faincliffe.
Someone who's a bit more sexually open, flirty, friendly, versus someone who maybe has not that loud or bright a hair color, for example, is a bit more quiet or reserved.
I haven't seen you for 3 hours. You're neglecting me already.
That dichotomy between Mary Pickford and Jean Harlow kept playing out as Hollywood developed new storylines. Ginger Rogers is a brassy showgirl in Stage Door.
Can you manage the show closing? Like a tired clam.
That's a shame.
Well, let's all go on relief and get it over with.
Good girls and gold diggers, harlots and hopefuls. Rafer Guzman, a film critic, thinks they all have something in common.
In the mind of the movie-going male, I think the blonde is something that you own, that you want to own. She's a prize or a trophy of some sort. She represents something that you're going to attain.
In film noir, the blondes were usually the good girls, but when they went wrong, they were doozies.
There's a speed limit in this state, Mr. Neff. 45 miles an hour.
How fast was I going, officer?
I'd say around 90.
Suppose you get down off your motorcycle and give me a ticket.
Suppose I let you off with a warning this time.
Suppose it doesn't take.
Suppose I have to whack you over the knuckles.
Suppose I bust out crying and put my head in your shoulder.
Suppose you try putting it on my husband's shoulder.
Barbara Stanwyck in Double Indemnity, classic one. She's a blonde who represents something to Fred McMurray. She represents somebody else's riches.
In the sunnier 1950s...
You've got the all-American blondes, someone like Doris Day. She's a wife, a mother, she's pretty but not sexual. You think of her singing Que Sera Sera in The Man Who Knew Too Much, you know, to a child.
My darling.
To me.
Que Sera Sera. Whatever will be.
You know, you've got sort of a status symbol blonde like Grace Kelly. She's like an expensive watch or something. You know, she looks unattainable, out of your reach, you, the average man, right?
Cool can be hot.
Anything else bothering you?
Mm-hmm. Who are you?
Reading from top to bottom. Lisa. Carol. Fremont.
When I think of Rear Window, all I think of is that slightly slow motion scene where she leans in to kiss Jimmy Stewart. She leans in to kiss him, and the film has been slowed down just a little bit so that it blurs the effect a bit, and she just looks like a dream. And then I think you have your bombshell blondes, your Marilyn Monroe, obviously.
You're very kind. I bet you're also gentle and helpless.
That one, I think, is a little more complicated because I think blondes always represent some kind of purity. But then if you sexualize that blonde, there's something a little kinky going on there.
I beg your pardon.
You see, I have this theory about men who wear glasses.
What theory?
I'll tell you when I get to know you better. What are you doing tonight?
I read somewhere that the definition of glamour is a combination of elegance and sleaze. And I think that Marilyn Monroe really had that, and there's a timeless appeal to that.
And she was funny, too. She could be all blondes to all people. Here's Michelle Williams, who plays her in My Week with Marilyn, speaking at a publicity shoot.
I grew up with a picture of her in my bedroom. She's wearing a white dress, and she's at Roxbury with Arthur Miller, and she's sort of spinning through the trees. So my primary association with her wasn't of the icon. It wasn't of this sort of sex symbol. It wasn't of a... It was like a girl-to-girl kind of relationship that I had.
Everyone wanted a little of what Marilyn had, and suddenly they could.
I knew exactly what had been done there. Marilyn had bleach and toners, a very classic form of helping a woman get blonder.
That's Laurie Goddard-Clark, the colorist, describing a classic studio portrait of Marilyn. She's a consultant for Avon, and she has a little black box with color tabs for clients Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, Kate Hudson, and the Olsen twins, written down in code. She thinks of them as recipes.
Meaning in that specific picture of Marilyn, you can see little subtle hints, sort of a light little fig, pink but not pink in the pictures.
And in the late 1950s, the introduction of salon-style one-process home hair color meant that any woman could whip up a different self. The famous Clairol ad from a few years later said it all.
Is it true blonde hair more fun? Is it true blonde hair?
It represents a choice, a freedom of choice. I can be blonde. I can do this. There's so many variations on the theme. You know, you have your platinum blondes, your strawberry blondes, your Northern California blondes, your little girl at the beach blondes, your surf punk blondes.
Paradoxically, if coloring liberated ordinary women for Hollywood stars, it remained a trap. Every decade produced a new flock of actresses obliged to flutter into pigeonholes. Wholesome, Sybil Shepherd, ditzy, Goldie Hawn, good girl, Meg Ryan, man-trap, Uma Thurman. Reese Witherspoon embraced the quintessential airhead in Legally Blonde.
So you're breaking up with me because I'm too... blonde?
No, that's not entirely true.
Then what? My boobs are too big?
Up-and-coming indie star Greta Gerwig is trying to figure out if she can break into the mainstream without squeezing into a pigeonhole.
It's certainly hard in big films to not just be serving the function of being decorative or a goal for the male protagonist who's doing all the interesting things.
Still, Gerwig is fiercely loyal to her blondness.
I was born blonde, although when I was 6 or 7, I have a very vivid memory of one of my friend's mothers. I was playing at her house, and she said, "Well, your hair will get darker as you get older." I became uncontrollably sad, and I couldn't believe it.
In Whit Stillman's forthcoming movie, Damsels in Distress, Gerwig plays Violet, the queen bee of her social circle.
In my view, handsome men are to be avoided. I don't even consider good looks to be flattering in a man. Do you know what I mean?
I hope that I get to add to what blondness and femininity means, because I think what's interesting right now is a sense of working it out. Myself and some other women who are either actresses or filmmakers or writers, you can see them being unsure, but then like trying something out.
Rafa Guzman thinks she has a hard road ahead of her.
She represents a kind of a modern type. She's blonde, but she's kind of a stringy blonde. She seems smart, but also kind of floppy and spacey. I'm not sure how compelling she's going to be to a wider audience with that persona.
Maybe the real point is that blondness is finally losing some of its grip. Outside of Hollywood and its pigeonholes, African-American stars have gone blonde, like the late Etta James, Tina Turner, Beyoncé, and Nicki Minaj. And Rihanna shook a cloud of blonde curls around while performing at the Grammys. Perhaps in a multicultural world, being blonde could finally become a style choice instead of a moral judgment. For Studio 360, I'm Sarah Montague.
You want to see a slideshow of that pantheon of blondes? Of course, we have one. And if you'd like to be a little more Marilyn Monroe, I'm a former blonde myself, The colorist, Lori Goddard Clark, has got a secret formula she's willing to share. That's all at Studio360.org.